This is Trish C. out and about with the Alaska State Fair, and I'm with Arnie Allen, and he is an expert on the type of architecture we have here in the Mat-Su Valley. Arnie, can you describe to us what makes this architecture, the buildings that we see here, unique? What do they look like? How did they come about?
Yes, it's very interesting for somebody who comes from the Midwest as I do. And in fact, I had heard about this place many, many years ago. And when I saw it for the first time in 1992, I was really quite blown away, actually, to see that it has Midwestern characteristics. And the Mat-Su Valley was settled in 1935 by a large number of people, 1,000 in fact, who came from the northern areas of Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And since the traditional dairy barn is something that is associated with the Midwest, with the gambrel roof, as we call it, sometimes called a hip roof, that particular barn form was also transformed here, as well as with the settlers. So you have these small barns; they're gambrel roofed, 32 by 32 by 32, so they're practically cubes, and they are scattered throughout the valley in the area that was colonized in 1935. So when you come here, you see these very, I guess, iconic figure or forms in the landscape, primarily red and small, and then with the backdrop of the mountains. If you took away the mountains, it might look, you could say, like the Midwest. So that form was then brought here, and the farmers then used them to have dairy cows. Some of them then later went into grade A production and expanded their farms. Today, there is only one dairy farm left in the Mat-Su Valley, as I understand, and there are others that have been converted to various activities. There's a muskox farm, and there's a reindeer farm, and then there, of course, are the growers of various vegetables who then have quite an organic program going throughout the valley. I might also add, too, that there's another interesting form that people might not see as much, and that's the log house. And it was intended at first that all of the log houses in the valley in that year of summer of 1935 would be constructed of logs. When they started in June, though, they realized that there just would not be enough time to complete every house of logs because of the short summer. And they had to get people under a roof before, at least by the 1st of November, because they were living in tents before then. So at least well over half of the houses are built of board and frame, as we call it. But the log houses are really intriguing to me as well, because they do have Midwestern characteristics as well, pioneer Midwestern characteristics. The first homes that European immigrants built in the Midwest were log in the northern area by Lake Superior. And they had very developed log building skills coming from Finland, Norway, and Sweden. And the buildings there that they constructed of logs are very tightly fitted. They're called scribed logs. They scribe on the bottom and top of the log so they can then carve out the bottom of the top log so that it fits snugly over the curvature of the log below. And you only need very little moss or whatever to put in between because they are so tightly fitting. They couldn't do that, and they were all built by hand with a broad axe and then other tools. When the settlers came here, there was no time to use hand tools, by and large, and of course, maybe most of the people didn't have the skills anymore, but they ran the logs then through a sawmill and shaved them off on three sides and then exposed the round side to the exterior. So when you look at a Matanuska log building, it typically has the round form on the exterior, and then has the three sides that have been planked, formed like planks, and they fit together quite tightly. Then oakum was put between the logs, so if there was a little bit of an opening there, that would seal it, oakum being a product coming from jute or hemp, and very good insulation material.
Now, these structures that they built here, that they brought with them, the architecture from the Midwest, were they really suited for here, or would they have had been better suited to have come and built a different type of structure?
We'll start with the houses. The log houses are very appropriate for Alaska. They've been built here for many decades before the settlers arrived. Because when you have a log house you're building, you're getting two things for one. You're getting the structure, the walls, and you're getting then the shelter, the heat retentive quality. So it's a very efficient way to build, and that was very appropriate for an early pioneer house in Alaska. And it's amazing how many contemporary log houses there are still in the area. Even Anchorage has so many log houses, which I find amazing, maybe more per capita than any other large city in the United States. The barns, however, were not entirely appropriate. For one thing, when you have a form that is 32 by 32 by 32, that makes it very vulnerable to winds. Mm. And when you, that short sort of span, too, makes that even a more difficult issue. So what happened then is that the winds were are quite strong here, and those buildings did not withstand those strong winds very well. So there had to be some more bracing work done in that. Another issue is that they didn't put them on very sound footings. They used spruce log footings rather than stone or concrete, which would have been characteristic of the Midwest. And those spruce footings began to rot, and they had to be replaced as well. And then when the farmers wanted to convert from subsistence agriculture to grade A production, they had to have more cows. You could only get 16 into the barn if you really used the space very efficiently. 16 animals or milk cows is not very many to support a family, so the farmers then had to put additions onto the barns. And there are some of them in the valley, yet only one is producing anymore. But there are several that have these large additions built on them, usually covered with metal roofing additions, and then the barn itself standing up there is the iconic form. It's a very interesting sort of juxtaposition. Had they been more cognizant of what the conditions were, the best type of barn might have been a more Western-style barn, which has a sloping gable roof, is not as high, and is better able to deal with the winds here.
Mm-hmm. That's good. As people are walking around the state fairgrounds, where can they see examples of these structures?
Yes, there is one barn called the Colony Barn at one end of the fairgrounds, and that was moved in the 1970s, as I recall, from one of the farms. It's the Winnick Barn. It was built by a Finnish immigrant named Edward Winnick, and his actual Finnish name would be Vinikka. And he was quite a skilled craftsman, and he supervised the construction of many of the barns in the Butte area. And then when he gave up farming, his son Earl convinced him that they should donate the barn to the fair. Well, finally they did do that, and it took some time before they could get it disassembled and then brought to the fairgrounds and reassembled, and you get just a very good example of a well-crafted dairy barn, original dairy barn, here at the fair.
Will you be giving any talks or programs about the architecture?
Yes, I'm in the barn itself, appropriately. I will be presenting again today. I did three yesterday, and I'll do three today on Sunday, at 2 o'clock, 4:30, and 7. And I might add, too, that then the DVD or the documentary that was done on the Matanuska colony, which is called Alaska Far Away, I also was a consultant on that, that will be shown throughout the day as well. And you can look at the fair program. And then I'm not going to be here for the rest of the fair after today, but there will be that program going, the DVD. And then there will be presentations by Helen Hegener, who wrote the book recently on the barns of the Matanuska Valley. So she'll take over my role for the rest of the fair.
Great. Thank you very much for this glimpse into our Alaska history. Thank you, Arnie.
Right. And I'm very happy to be here. And as I always say, one can never come to Alaska often enough.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.